There are many things about this pandemic that I don't like, and that's one of them. Not being able to sing when you come out and join with others in the house of the Lord, but I hope that will change soon, and then we can really enter into the spirit of our worship and lift our hearts to God the way that we long to do. Great privilege to be with you for this harvest weekend. It was good to be out last night to be ministered to Denver and Lynn and by revelation, and I went home richly blessed at the ministry that was shared with us last night. Now turn, please, with me in your Bible. I'm going to read two very short readings. The first is found in Psalm number 89. Psalm number 89, and then we're going to read a few verses in the book of Lamentations and in Lamentations chapter 3. But first of all, Psalm 89, and we begin our reading at verse 1 through to verse 8. The psalmist says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen, I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Turn with me then, please, to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. And I want to read a few verses just beginning at verse 21. Lamentations 3, verse 21 says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, say my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow for a moment and ask God to open up his word and to minister to our hearts. Father, we thank you so much for all that we have already learned today about harvest time. We thank you that you're a great God and worthy of our praise. You are the one who gives every good and perfect gift to us. You are the one today who watches over us. You're the one who ministers to us, provides our every need. And today we want to thank you for all of that. We come just now for these moments that remain, and we have read your word together. And Father, we ask that you would bless your word to us just now as we meditate upon it. May the Spirit of God speak right into our hearts and lives. May we, our Father, rejoice today in all that you have done for us and in all that you mean to us. And our Father, as you speak to us, we pray that we will apply your word to our hearts and that we will become the people that we need to be. Hear our prayers, we ask, in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen. It's not only a great privilege to be with you today, but also to think about this particular time of the year, and it has been of course, introduced to us in the children's talk when Colin has spoke to us about harvest. You and I know we're old enough to look back over perhaps many years now, and we know that the seasons come and they go and things change and the summer passes and we come into this beautiful autumn season, and it's a time of the year when harvest is very much upon our minds and our hearts. And we look heavenward today with gratitude, and we thank God that every good and perfect gift comes down to us from our Heavenly Father, who knows every single need that we have. Speaking of the harvest, the commentator Sidlow Baxter put it like this. He said, "The harvest is one big, eloquent speech of God. It is a time for reverent and grateful praise, and we must proclaim, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." And of course, he's referring there to Psalm number 8. But as another harvest season comes, I want to turn your thoughts to the verses I've read to you here in Lamentations 3, and in particular, verses 22 and 23. Here's what it says. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And I want to speak to you today simply about the faithfulness of God. I think that's the most encouraging and very comforting subject, especially in the days in which we live. Over this past number of months, particularly from March, we have been talking so much about the pandemic, and we have been trying to fit in here, there, and everywhere with all the regulations that have been made, some agreeing with them, others not agreeing with them. But as we look back over all of that period of time, there have been so many things that have discouraged us. Things perhaps that have filled the hearts of some people with fear and dread, wondering what they're passing through and wondering if it will ever come to an end. So these have been difficult days for all of us. But through them all, God has remained unchanging, and God has remained ever faithful to his people. You and I have read this morning a few verses here in Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations, of course, is a very, very interesting book, and the title of the book aptly describes what it's all about. Some commentators refer to this book as a series of funeral laments. Now, why on earth would that title be given to this particular book? Well, you'll know, during the Lord's earthly ministry, that he himself wept over the city of Jerusalem. We know that because in Matthew 23, 37, 38, it says this, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." It's interesting that long before the Lord Jesus Christ ever wept over the city of Jerusalem, that the prophet Jeremiah did exactly the same. He wept over the city of Jerusalem too. And these five chapters in this book of Lamentations, they contain for us Jeremiah's lamentations in mourning, not just the destruction of Jerusalem, but also its temple in 586 BC by the armies of Nebuchadnezzar. You read through this book sometime, and you will hear the prophet sobbing, and you'll hear him sighing as he thinks about all that has already happened and all that lies in store for the people of God. And you'll see this man reveal to you and to me a broken heart. And that broken heart was just simply revealing the broken heart of God for his people at that time, because they had disobeyed him and God had to chastise them, even though it grieved God to do so. And Lamentations teaches us that sin is a very costly thing. And that God will always punish sin. And Colin has reminded us the fact that we reap, and whatever we reap, we are going to sow. But how good it is to come to these verses in Lamentations, despite the background and despite all that was going on, and to know that God does not treat us as our sin deserves, and that His mercy never, ever fails. In other words, there is great hope to be found in the mercy of God. Lamentations 1, you'll see the grief that was felt after the destruction of Jerusalem. Lamentations 2, the personal suffering as a result of the destruction. You'll note that sin brought destruction to the city, disgrace to the people. It brought discouragement to the prophet and judgment from the hand of God. And into that bleak, black background, these words appear. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Beloved, I want to encourage you today. And I want to encourage you by simply reminding you of the faithfulness of God. And I'm going to mention four very simple things, and I'll do that quickly. And I trust that God will take His word and He'd make it real and relevant to you and to me just now. Let me remind you, first of all, of God's faithfulness and His person. By that I simply mean this. You and I, we live in a world today where we rub shoulders with so many different people from every walk of life. And sometimes as we look at those people, and sometimes as we look deep within our own hearts, we see a people who lack loyalty. We see people who are totally undependable. And faithfulness sometimes is a very rare quality to behold. And sometimes when we look at our churches, and sometimes we look at our hearts, sometimes when we look at our society today, there are so many things that sadden us with regards to faithfulness, because sometimes it's hard to get people to be dependable. But whenever you and I turn to consider God today, that's a different story. You read through this book, and you will see a completely different picture when you look away from yourself, when you look away from our world, and when you look heavenward, and you consider the God in whom you have put your trust. Because God is always, and God is ever faithful. He's not like us. Faithfulness is one of those perfections of His being. We might refer to it as an attribute, that characteristic that sets God apart from everything and from everyone else. You see, faithfulness is one of those perfections of His being. It's essential to His being, because without it, He would not be God. To say that God is unfaithful doesn't even bear thinking about. But it's impossible. And you will see a number of times in the scriptures, whenever the faithfulness of God is referred to, and it paints a picture for us of a God who is always dependable, a God who is always there for His own, a God who is in the background, working behind the scenes at times, faithfully answering the prayers of His people, although sometimes we just don't see it until the actual answer comes. There are many illustrations, of course. There are many references we could consider to time, but let me just mention one of them in passing. This is a passage I love in a book that I love, and it's in the book of Deuteronomy. You'll remember how that Moses was speaking to God's people of old, giving directions to them, telling them what they must do, telling them what they must not do if they were going to enjoy the blessing of God upon them. Now, at some stages of their journey, they have already experienced the wrath of God upon them. God told them when he led them out of bondage, bringing them into the land of promise, there would be times if they didn't obey God that God would have to deal with them. And he did that. And now Moses is reflecting on the journey, and Moses is saying to these people, listen, do not become like the other nations. When you enter into the land of promise, do not compromise, because you're God's people. You're a separated people. You've been chosen on the basis of God's grace. And instead of compromising your faith with all the neighboring nations, you possess their land, you deal with those nations, and you will experience the blessing of God upon you. And how did he encourage them? Did he stand and look back and say, this is where you failed? This is what you didn't do? These were the things that marked your life thus far? He didn't do that. Though they had many failures, and though they had many faults, and so too had Moses, their leader. What Moses did to encourage them was to simply turn their thoughts to God, and he speaks of their faithful God. Their faithful God. You see, beloved, Moses reminded them that the God who had been faithful to them in the past was the same God who was faithful in the present, and a God who would be faithful to them in the future. Why, in the midst of a pandemic or in the midst of any crisis, do we lose heart and lose hope? And sometimes our faith is fickle and sometimes it wavers. Why does that happen to us? If we have a God who sits enthroned upon the universe, who is constantly, always faithful to his people, why do we fear? Don't we sometimes sing those words, my times are in thy hands? My God, I wish them there. My soul, my friends, everything I leave entirely to thy care. Beloved, take a little moment today just where you sit and look back over your journey through life. Maybe you're a young Christian, and maybe your journey hasn't been very long yet spiritually, and you're worried about the future, and you're thinking about, well, what if, and what if, and what if. Leave the what ifs with God. Just put your hand in his today by faith. Walk with him, and God will prove to be faithful to you every step of your journey. Some of you are maybe older now and looking back, and you're saying to yourself, you know, this pandemic, all that's going on around me today, it's fearful. Yes, it is. But God never failed you in the past, and God is not going to fail you now. And he never failed you in the future. You just remember today those words the psalmist uses in Psalm 36:5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. God's faithfulness is vast. It's unfailing, and it's unchanging. Hudson Taylor was a missionary in China, the founder of the China Inland Mission, later named as OMF International. He spent 51 years in China, and through his work and through the work of others called to that ministry, 125 schools were established, 300 outstations for the work of the gospel were set up in all 18 provinces at that time. 500 local workers were involved in that mission. This man, we know, was sensitive to the Chinese culture. We know he wore Chinese clothing. He was able to speak in a number of Chinese dialects. But whenever, at a meeting on one occasion, he was commended for his faithfulness to the work of the gospel, this is what he said. It is not by trying to be faithful, but by looking at the faithful one that we have the victory. Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Look heavenward today and remember God's faithfulness in his person. Secondly, God's faithfulness in his promises. You see, as far as the promises of God are concerned, God is ever faithful. There's not a thing that God has said by way of promise that will not come to pass. I could give you so many examples of that, but I'm just going to give you one. Take yourself back for a moment, right back into the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. You remember how God formed the earth and he filled the earth and God stood back and he saw the work of his creative hand and he said it was good. It was perfect, just the way God wanted it to be. But then sin entered into the world. And when sin entered into the world and Adam and Eve hid themselves from God's presence, God summoned them and he searched them and he cursed the serpent and he cursed the ground. He drove Adam and Eve from the garden and from the place of communion with himself. Was that the end? No. Here's what God said to them by way of promise. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above the beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. Dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There's the first promise given by God in the Bible, the first prophecy that is given to us. Not only that God would send forth a Redeemer, but the day would come when that Redeemer would bruise Christ's heel, but Christ would bruise the serpent's head and defeat him, and we know that he did. You see, the first promise that God gave, he fulfilled. The day would come, and Paul tells us in Galatians 4 these words, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son. Beloved, God is faithful to his promises. I remember many years ago talking with a man who had become a Christian, and he had lived for the Lord for a number of years, and we were just sitting sharing together about the way that God and his grace had led us in life. And he said, you know, I was such a rebellious man. If it hadn't have been for my mother's prayers, I would never have been saved. I said, I hope you thanked her. He says, I can't, she's in heaven. I said, how did it come about? He said, when we were boys growing up, my mother said to us one day, do you know what? God has assured me, he has promised me that you're going to be saved. And the two boys, they ran about with no thought of God. But one day they came back from school and they heard their mother lying on the top of the bed crying, and they thought something was wrong. They went up the stairs and they realized that their mother was actually crying out to God for their salvation. And they were afraid to say anything, but the mother knew their presence, and so she said to them later about it, and they had no thought of God, no interest in being saved. She says, God will keep his promise. And she died. The two boys stood at her graveside, having lost a godly mother and them unconverted. And then as life progressed and sin sought to ruin their lives, God in grace spoke to them. And in answer to prayer and according to the promise that God gave, he saved both of them. And today they're out preaching the word of God. That's God's promise. Go on feeling. If God says it, God is going to do it. And going back to Galatians 4, don't forget, whenever God sent his Son into the world to be our Savior, according to Paul, Galatians 4:4. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ came. He grew up amongst men. Though he had no sin of his own, he went to an old rugged cross one day, and there, what did he do? He died for the sin of this whole world. He died for your sin and for mine. He was buried. He rose again triumphantly from the grave. He defeated sin. He took the sting out of death. He defeated Satan just as God had promised. Beloved, what I'm saying to you is this.
You and I are standing on the promises of Christ our King. These are promises that cannot ever fail. The safest place for you and I to be in these days is standing on the promises of God. God's faithfulness in His person, God's faithfulness in His promises, God's faithfulness and His provision. We read a lovely verse last night together in our praise night, Psalm 145, verse 16. Thou openest up thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Aren't we told that God upholds no good thing from them that love Him? The apostle tells us, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall provide all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, God's our great provider. Now, we need to understand He doesn't always give us what we want, because that might not be good for us. But He always gives us what we need. He provides that need continually and faithfully. Take a look around you at this harvest season. See the produce, see the farmers, see all the things that this harvest season is about, even in this building today, and you will realize that God is not just good, but God is faithful. Remember how Jesus in Matthew 6 said this, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or withal what shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to His disciples about being over anxious. He didn't want them to be over anxious. He didn't want them to worry. And yet, even though at times we may deny it, that we get over anxious about so many things and we worry about so many things. We worry about things that go on in our family. We worry about things that are going on at our work. We worry about things that are taking place in our church. We worry about so, so many different things. And Jesus says, don't you worry, for your heavenly Father knows. He knows all about you. He knows all about those fears. He knows all about those cares. He knows every detail that's going on in your life. And if the birds of the field depend on God to meet their need, surely we, the children of God, are of more value than them. And He can meet our needs too. You might say to me, Pastor, that's easy for you to say that. Times are tough, and they are. Days are difficult, and they are. Money doesn't seem to go as far these days, and that's true. And I understand all of that. But more importantly, so too does God. Your heavenly Father knows. He knows. And you and I must trust Him. An old lady who lived in the Scottish borders lost her husband. And when she lost her husband, she lost the breadwinner in the house, and she was not only deeply disturbed, but she was left destitute. But one thing it taught her to do, and that was to depend entirely upon God for her every need. Never once did she find Him to feel. But in the village where she lived, there were a group of young men, ungodly men, and they used to torture the life out of this old lady. And whenever they saw her down through the windows on her knees and praying, they used to throw stones at the doors. They used to shout at her. They did all things to make her life miserable. But one day when she was on her knees praying, she simply told God that she was out of food and perhaps God could send her a loaf. And that was great, and she just left it with Him. The boys heard her praying. So they ran down to the shop and they brought her a loaf, and they came and they threw it down through the big chimney right into the front room, and the old lady lifted it and she received it gratefully, and she bowed her head and she thanked God for it. It was a real answer to prayer. And then the door suddenly burst open and the boys ran in, and one of them said to her, God didn't give you that. We heard you praying and we went and we bought it for you. And the old lady looking at them just simply said, no, God sent it, even if the devil brought it. God is a God who provides constantly, continually, unfeelingly. And this morning, if you're finding that hard to believe in your circumstances, your heavenly Father knows. Last thing, very quickly, I'll finish in a couple of minutes. God's faithfulness in His person, God's faithfulness in His promises, God's faithfulness in His provision, God's faithfulness in His people. See, that's the challenge, isn't it? God's faithfulness to us cannot be doubted, because our experience of life has shown us that God has never failed us. God even knew about needs we didn't even know we had. And He worked behind the scenes to bring things about. And then we stood back in amazement and often thought, well, how did God know about that? Because our Heavenly Father knows everything. You might say, Pastor, hold on a moment. I know God has never been unfaithful to me, but at times my faith is sorely tested. I wonder why at times it seems that God is letting me down. There might even be times when our lives are in a mess and we cannot see what God's doing, let alone understand it, and we can doubt His love for us. And there are times when we are let down by others and when circumstances overwhelm us, and the devil would seek to tell us that not even God cares about us, but that's not true. You and I can trust a God who is always, always, and ever faithful. He'll not let us down. He'll not break His promises. He'll not forget about His children. But I wonder today, do we often forget about God? It's one thing to rejoice in the faithfulness of God, but I wonder how faithful my life is to Him today. You'll remember that in Galatians 5, in that lovely passage about the fruit of the Spirit, there's a list of things given there, and one of them is faith. Now, you and I often think of the word faith, and we think of saving faith. That's when we came to know Christ as our Savior, and that's our saving faith. Or we think of sustaining faith, that faith that sustains us as we make our journey through life as Christians. But the word in Galatians 5 actually means faithfulness. It's an extension of the word faith. And it means today that as Christians, our lives ought to be inspired by our obedience to God, our surrender to Him, and by faithfulness on our part. David Livingstone, the great missionary, who went to Africa just to say about our faith, he said, Christianity is not a matter of fits and starts and stops. It's an everyday affair. I haven't come to criticize you. I've come to warm your heart. I made that abundantly clear. But this passage today gives us an opportunity to look at ourselves and say, well, am I faithful to God? God is continually, always, constantly faithful to me. What about me and my walk with God? What about me and the work that God has asked me to do? Because you see, the Christian life, it's all about serving the Lord, involvement in the work of the kingdom, going all out for Christ and working in the light of eternity. I'll finish with this. Warren Wiersbe relates to a story that's recorded in the Wycliffe Handbook of Preaching and Preachers. And again, this story relates to Hudson Taylor. He was asked to take a meeting in Birmingham at a place then called the 7th Street Schoolroom. The weather was bad, terribly bad. And as Hudson Taylor got ready to go out to the meeting, the family came to him and said, Mr. Taylor, listen, the night is so bad you don't need to go, because there'd be very few, if any, in attendance. Hudson Taylor's response was simple. He said to the family he was staying with, well, I must go, even if only the doorkeeper is there, because God has called me to this task. He went. At that meeting, only 12 people turned up. He had prepared, and so he preached everything that he had prepared, and he talked about the work, and the meeting was filled with a real sense of God's presence. And out of those 12, 6 of them went to serve with the China Inland Mission. Child of God this morning, don't give up. Don't take a back seat. Don't say, well, I let others get on with the work. God has called you and God has called me to do it. He doesn't ask any of us to be successful. But he does ask us to be faithful. He does ask us to be faithful. In other words, to be like Him. Faithful in His person, faithful to His promises, faithful in His provision, and ever faithful to His people. What a great God we have today. Always remember, whatever you're facing, that the Lord's mercies are new every morning, and great is Thy faithfulness. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You so much for Your faithfulness to us. All of us at different stages of life can look back and we see the hand of God upon us and we see experiences whereby You prove to us Your faithfulness. And Father, we know that as You have been in the past, so too You will be in the future. Just help us as Your children not to give up. Help us, Father, to go forward in faith. Help us to trust You in every situation, because Your mercies are new every morning, and great is Your faithfulness. Warm our hearts, we pray, through Your word. Bless those of us who wait to remember the Lord in His own appointed way. Bless those who leave us, take them safely home. And be with each one of us throughout this day. We ask it for Christ, our Savior's sake. Amen. Amen.